Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Life is like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 1 November 2022. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. You are in for a powerful program tonight, folks. And I do mean that. I'm going to bring up our guest just in a second. But you're in for something. Well, we're going to hear some news firsthand. Let's put it that way. Anyway, don't forget this coming weekend, we're going to have Bible study. And I hope you can join us, folks. I really mean that. And a lot of you do. You can watch us live. If you go to our website, PastorButch.com, and click on live stream at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we'll be there. And that first half hour is for prayer requests and praise reports, this type thing. At 11:30, you always do current events and why they line up with Scripture. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to do a teaching, Lord willing, entitled Politics and Christian Duty. And I hate to admit this. I just learned something tonight. I'm 74 years old and just learned something from the Scriptures tonight. The Holy Spirit said, look up this word. And I did. I learned something to me that was a revolutionary, I guess you could say, or a great opening to my eyes. And I'll share that this coming Saturday in Bible study, folks. You may not want, if you can, tune in. Now, if you can't watch it live, you can call us and watch it. You can call and listen on the phone by dialing 339-209-5013. That's 339-209-5013. Well, during the teaching, I'm going to tell you something I just learned tonight. I'm ashamed to admit, probably most of you already know it. I just learned it tonight, and I'm going to share it with you this coming Saturday. It actually changes the meaning of a scripture, folks. We've quoted ourselves many, many, many times, thought we knew the meaning of. And just like it did years ago when I taught on Daniel 8:25, when it says that the Antichrist, the beast system, will destroy many through peace. I thought the word peace meant peace, when it actually meant false security and prosperity. He destroyed the people, the masses, by false security and prosperity. Yeah. So we're going to learn something that's just that shattering this coming weekend. Just try to join us if you can. I'm going to read to you about a paragraph here of a story, of an article, sent to me by our guest tonight. And I'm going to bring up her guest. Her name is Andy Berger. Andy Berger. And here's what this says. Judge orders Iowa teen. One more time. Judge orders Iowa teen trafficking victim to pay $150,000 restitution to family of rapist she killed. Now, I'm not making it up, folks. This read. Prosecutors took issue with Piper Lewis labeling herself as a survivor. Now, this is what happened. She killed a rapist and is being forced to pay $150,000 restitution. Piper Lewis was 15 years old and had been raped multiple times by Zachary Brooks. She stabbed him to death in a Des Moines, Iowa, apartment. In her troubled early years, she had been trafficked and raped. The story is all too common. However, the decision by County Court Judge David Porter to impose a $150,000 restitution fee to the family of Zachary Brooks, Lewis's rapist, is a travesty of justice. Outrageous. She was the victim the first time he raped her. Never mind the previous violations by Christopher Brown, who sold Lewis into human trafficking and has yet to be held accountable for trafficking a minor child. He's walking free, and Piper has to pay a $150,000 fine to the family of the rapist that she killed or self-defense. This is America today, folks. This is America today. Our guest tonight, his name is Andy Berger. Actually, it's Andrea, but I love the name Andy. Andy Berger. She herself was a victim at an early age. Now she's running the organization trying to help these people. And I want you to stay tuned, folks, because this may shake your world a little bit, but sometimes we need a world shook a little bit to get our attention. Andy, are you there?
I'm here.
It is such a pleasure to have you, sweetheart. And I mean that. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. And I'd like for you, if you would, to tell the folks a little bit about Andy, maybe your past, how you got into all this, and just give us an update on who you are so people all the world can understand what you're doing.
Well, absolutely, and thank you again for the opportunity to be on your show and speak to your audiences. So basically, way back when, before there ever was a term called human trafficking, from the age of 6 months to 17 years old by family members,
I'm going to interrupt you there. They started with you at 6 months?
Well, sexual violation, as much as we don't like to hear this, does start very early and a lot more with babies than people would think.
And with you personally, when did it start?
I'm sorry, what was that?
With you personally, when did it start?
Oh, yes, from 6 months old to 17 years old by my birth mother, who was the primary predator.
Wow. Your mother.
And then my father and my birth brother and a couple of cousins and other people. And, you know, in the early 60s and 70s, we weren't culturally even talking about child abuse, let alone, you know, we talk about that special uncle or, you know, we don't go see this person in the family. But nobody ever really talked about this. And so I was physically abused, mentally, emotionally, obviously sexually, all of those things. And this is where, you know, God stepped in, because by the time I was 5 years old, the torture and the physical abuse and all of the things that went with that, and not being able to run anywhere, there was no place to hide with familial traffickers, family members, it's very hard for a victim. So at the age of five, I decided that since my birth mother was so intent on trying to kill me and tell me that I was the problem in the family, I thought I would take my own life, and it was my first attempt at suicide at age five.
You tried to commit suicide at age five.
I did.
I don't want to hold you up. I don't mean to keep interrupting you, sweetheart, but this is so sickening, sad, and yet intriguing to the point that you're telling it just like it is. At 5 years old, 5 years old, when children should still be playing with doll babies and just learning about a little bit about life and mommy and daddy, you tried to commit suicide.
Right.
What did you do?
Well, I went out to the curb of our house, and usually it was a fairly busy street, and I just waited for a car to be coming by fast enough, because in my little five-year-old heart and mind, I thought, if I'm dead, then they can't hurt me or touch me anymore. They can't terrorize me, you know, force me to do things, you know, I didn't want to do, or, you know, to blame me for things I never did and use that as a way to hurt me. And so I thought, I'll just wait for a car. I'll jump in front of it, and it'll be over, and I'll have peace. You know, but
oh my
of course,
gosh.
No
oh
car
gosh.
Came by that day. And while I was there, Pastor Butch, I looked into that big blue sky in California, and I thought, how far does this go? Did somebody make this? Is there somebody bigger than the people that are hurting me? And in that moment, I heard God's voice in my heart say, this is not the plan I have for you. Suicide is not the answer.
At 5 years old?
I trusted.
At 5 years old?
Yes, sir.
The revelation of 5 years old. My goodness. And I don't want to get, any more detail than you feel comfortable, please. But what were they doing to you, and what kind of acts did they want you to do at 5 years old?
Well, there are three ways to sexually violate a body, and so I think the audiences can figure out that part. And when you're a child, right, and you're a very small child, and you're being beaten and you're being thrown against walls and pounded on with fists, you know, my first memory of my birth mother, I was probably about three, I was standing in the doorway to the kitchen because a lot of little kids are curious when, you know, mom's in the kitchen cooking, wanted to know what was for dinner. So my older brother and I went, we put our hands on the doorway, and she turned around and held up this butcher knife, this cleaver, and she got into this rage and started screaming at us and stomping her feet, coming towards us with that huge knife, and chased us through the house. And I thought she was going to cut us up and kill us that night. So that is the first memory I have of a mother.
And you were how old then?
Three.
3 years old. Folks,
so
I know
imagine.
This is really hard for you not to understand this. I mean, I don't even remember being 3 years old, barely. I can remember part of it, not very much of it. It's just amazing. And this is going on in an individual's home, and there's no doubt about it, Andy, your parents had to be possessed by devils. You know that.
I'm completely convinced that they were evil, and you know what the worst part is my birth mother would go to church on occasion, and of course we all had to look like everything was just perfect and act normal and not say this or not say that, because we'd be in big trouble. Like every day you didn't know if someone was going to come in and beat the heck out of you or touch you or do things, you know, that are inappropriate or take you somewhere to really truly that uncle or that person, you know. And so that went on for a very long time, and I had to go to school.
And how widespread was this through your family? How many family members were involved in this? I mean, your grandma and grandpa, did they know about it? How many family members knew about this?
The ones that were involved were, I remember seven. When I went to counseling, I identified seven. As far as who knew, it wasn't until many decades later, a couple of family members, extended family members would say, well, we thought there was something wrong with your mother, but, you know, nobody said anything. Nobody wanted to cause trouble or, you know, embarrass anybody.
Well, how about grandma and grandpa?
Up.
How about grandma? Were they ever around you to see anything?
Once in a while, my step-grandmother was a great lady. She was the only one that was really nice to me. But my grandfather, who would be my birth mother's father, he was very evil. And so we didn't spend too much time there. But my step-grandmother, Maria, was really a kind lady, and she's really the only decent person and one aunt that I had. But see, this is what abusers do. They move you around. They disengage from family members or anybody who could possibly, you know the secrets or find out, because 5 was my first attempt, but 8, 9, and 16 were my other attempts, because life was just that horrid, and I could not run anywhere. I had nowhere to go, no money, no friends, no family that was safe. I was stuck.
What, did no one suspect anything enough to inquire what's going on?
No, not in those days. You know, like I said, the early 60s, 70s, you know, they pretty much, school was, you went to school, you did good, and if I didn't excel, I paid for it at home. If anybody tried to get me into trouble, I would pay for it at home. You know, be promised, oh, you can go to a birthday party, then last minute, no, you can't. Holidays were horrible, you know, and there were rooms of the house that weren't, you know, ever safe. Even into my adult life, I would avoid certain things because it reminded me of things that happened to me. And the last time my birth mother tried to take my life by choking me almost to death, I was 17.
Oh, my. And were there no physical marks on you when you went to school? Did nobody question any bruises or anything?
No, nope, they were very careful to make sure nobody could see those kinds of things.
My goodness. Did it take the doctors for checkups or anything? I mean, I thought it was going through people's minds. Did it take the doctors to have regular checkups or just ignore that?
Oh yeah, my birth brother mostly because he was sick all the time. But you know, the times I was taken, I actually had one of those physicians. I was 12, and he touched me inappropriately. So we were taken to doctors. But basically, my whole life was, you know, shut up and get out of here as soon as you can. But you know, when I heard God's voice in my heart that day at the curb, I went back up to the garage and I stood against it and. To this voice, to this being, I had no idea who he was. I said, if you keep me alive, I will do whatever you call me to do. Not knowing, of course, how hard and how brutal it would be, because, again, nobody talked, and if they suspected, nobody tattled on family. And the judges and the court systems in that time, even actually into the 80s when I was in law school, they still sent kids back to abusers because, well, everybody belongs with their mother, you know. Even if the mother was a raving lunatic or an abuser or a violator. And so she would literally hold the Bible and say that was her authority to do what she did to me and my birth brother.
Oh, my. What did they done to your brother,
so imagine
too?
Imagine that. Yeah.
They done to your brother, too.
Absolutely, yep. And then he learned it from them and practiced on me by trying to suffocate me to death a couple of times and other things.
And is he still alive today? Is he still functioning?
I believe he's still alive. I haven't heard from him for a very long time because his solution was to leave for college and never come back. You know, left me, didn't send help, nothing like that. And just ignore the fact that we had any kind of life with those people, as he used to call them, because my birth mother had an unnatural attraction to him because she hated my birth father. So it was very, very messy, very ugly, very evil.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's fast forward.
Here I am.
Yeah, you are, and you're walking in victory through Christ our Lord. Praise God for that. But my goodness, what a journey! So, when did you finally? I mean, you were trafficked to how old again?
The trafficking part probably waned down to, I think, age, I would say probably 15-ish, because then I'm older, I'm a little bit bigger, but the touching and the violations and the physical beatings and abuse continued. And like I said, choking me to death almost, you know, that one day wasn't her first try. She tried to kill me before that.
And so how long were you trafficked? I mean, how long were you kept in this bondage? 15, and then how much longer?
Well, the trafficking part, obviously the counselors are the ones that figured out how far back it went. So I will say, you know, the trafficking part, I mean, being taken to other family members' homes for stuff, you know, that's something that... people don't understand, but if an adult transports a child and you know what's going to happen to them or why they're being taken to this place, to me, in Andy's opinion, is trafficking, whether there's money involved or not. And back then, nobody would have thought about, you know, actually making money off that kind of process. So you could comfortably say 12 to 15 years of trafficking, but for 17 and a half years, because as a minor, I had no rights. Even when I called a Christian counseling center, they said, well, you have to bring your parents. Well, that doesn't help if the parents are the problem. So I was 18. When I turned 18, that was the first time I set out on my own, went to college, and started realizing how other people lived. And even though I still had communication with the birth family because I was still mind-controlled, I still had a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of just a lot of ugly in my image, you know, in my life. Because of everything that happened.
How did you interact with other people? How did you interact with other people in college? How did you learn to get along and not have that show through your any actions, physical or mental? I mean, how did you handle that, meeting other people?
Well, I had a great game face. I went in because, you know, I still, even though I had a blind faith in God, I still believed he existed and that there was someone there. I just didn't have that intimate personal relationship. You know, I knew Jesus, who he was, but I didn't have that living faith, as I call it. But in college, I just poured myself into education. I graduated in 3 years, was, you know, double major, took a year off, went to law school. So as long as I was succeeding and I got affirmation from other people, that was kind of what filled the void, and I just kept a big distance so that no one would find out that the people who were supposed to love me, protect me, and, you know, cherish a child, you know, didn't, and that I didn't want people to think there was something wrong with me, because for a long time I felt like it was my fault, like I must have done something really horrible to have people do this to me.
And are your parents still alive? Have they ever come to the grip of what they've done? Have they repented? What's happened with them?
No, my birth father died probably 20-some years ago, and my aunt, my good aunt I mentioned, that I had only seen a few times, she called, and I did go to the hospital, not because I wanted to, not because at the time my ex-husband wanted me to, but because I felt that was the least I could do for God. And so I went and saw him, forgave him, and walked out, and he passed away, and that was that. He wasn't conscious enough to say anything back to me, but, you know, he had tears in his eyes. And then my birth mother finally passed away. 91 years old it took her to pass, but she passed away 2 years ago, and that was the last of my predators to die.
Well, did she have a chance to repent? Did she repent before the Lord? Has anything ever happened that way?
Have no idea. She never once contacted me. So I'm 60, and the last contact I had with her was 35 years old. And word had gotten to me that she was spreading lies and all this stuff about me, and sending presents to people we used to know in my name, like, you know, as if we were still family. So she had this big facade going on, and she was a teacher and all this stuff. And so basically never heard. I just wrote and said, you know, if you want to have an honest relationship, I would be happy to do that. But, you know, all these things that you said that have gone through all of these circles of people we know, that's not really Jesus, and I don't, you know, the Jesus I love is this, you know, the God I love, because she would always come off as this holy roller Christian. Yeah, she was a teacher. She didn't hurt any of the kids in her class. Yep.
My goodness, my goodness. Okay, let's move a little forward. We'll have to go to break in a few minutes, and we'll get into what you're doing to help other children. But
sure.
So you broke free, basically broke free about 18 years old. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
And you obviously got married.
Yes, I did. I married someone who looked really good at church and was a worship leader, and dated a couple of years, and as soon as we were married, things changed very drastically. So it's not surprising a victim of abuse would marry an abuser who really... Much later, I realized bordered on a sexual deviant, you know, after the divorce, I realized, you know, deliverance doesn't always come in the package you want it to, but it's still deliverance. And that's where God and I really, really got into a relationship of faith, of trust, of wonder, of acknowledgement. I went to a chapel service that a friend took me to, and, of course, that day the preacher was speaking my life from beginning to end, and for 2 hours I cried. And the main speaker that they had there, she came and sat next to me, and she rocked me back and forth and didn't say a word. She just held me, and I thought, you know, I'm 31 years old at that time. And I thought, this must be what it's like when a mother comforts her child, because I'd never had that.
Wow.
And so that's
when I
started healing.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Big blessing.
But how did you learn to relate to your husband after all this abuse? I mean, how did you overcome that?
Well, so after the divorce and after getting to know Jesus on a very intimate level and God and all of that, I grew in my faith, and the Lord took me in baby steps. And when Ed came along, he's the most amazing human I have ever known in my life. We were introduced by a mutual friend from church, and he practiced his proposal on the second date, and I said yes on the third date. And 9 months later, we were married. And 22 years later, it's still awesome. But to your point, you're right. It's very hard to have relationships when you've been severely violated, abused, exploited. A lot of people out there have that trauma, men and women. But I will tell you what Ed said that made a world of difference. He said, you know, I don't understand everything that happened to you, Andy, but he said, this is what I can promise you. I will never leave you, and, you know, I will always listen. And so isn't wow. that what we as Christian brethren should do?
Absolutely. I totally agree. Totally agree with that.
Yep.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you come. Well, it has to be God, obviously, and for you to get through this emotionally now, you sound really stable. You sound like you're enjoying your life in Christ, and that it, to me, is remarkable. You know, I never went through that kind of stuff, so I really can't say how I would react. But I like to think I would react like you did and come through it victorious on the other side. But that takes a tremendous amount of faith. And obviously, God used this evil in your life to bring something glorious out of it for you personally and for other people
yeah.
now. Now. We're going to go to break here in about 2 minutes, but start telling the folks about what you're doing to help other people.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Well, we started in 2008 with a shelter called Beulah's Place that my husband and I started, and we rescued at-risk homeless teens off the streets in our Central Oregon area and a little bit out of there. And so after 14 years, we ended up with over 300 kids that we were able to intercede for and sent 8 to college, and everyone's working, and that was really good. But before we had to close that because of funding and COVID and things going on in, you know, Oregon government and stuff, God inspired Voices Against Trafficking, which is what I'm doing now, and I can tell you more about that. But basically, we're on a bigger scale. We help intercede in active cases, but we also create public awareness, and we have some pretty cool things that we're going to bring out this end of year to help people protect their children, protect themselves, and help turn the tide on predators that exploit and violate children.
My goodness. You know, I don't want to even say to what you're doing. I mean, I'm honored to know you. I mean, this is phenomenal, what you've been through, what you're doing now. And we're going to go to break, like I said, just about another 30, 40 seconds. But after the break, I want you to get into more detail about how you helped people, who maybe give us some examples of who you helped. Obviously, your life has been hellish. I mean, up until a certain, I mean, it was just pure hell for you, no doubt about it. No point saying the other way. But after the break, we're going to get into what you're doing now and the people that you've helped. Maybe you can give us some examples of stories of young children. I assume that you help both boys and girls, right?
Yes, absolutely, because people don't want to admit it, but boys are just as vulnerable. We're just used to hearing more about women, you know, girls getting hurt.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, that... You tell me things here that just absolutely, my mind's going through it. I'm trying to absorb what you said. I can't imagine a child your age treated like that and going through that. I only pray that your parents maybe had some remorse and maybe by the grace of God accepted him before it was too late. But I tell you what, Andy, you're a remarkable young lady. You really are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's all God. That's for sure.
Yes, it is all gone. Folks, after the break, we'll want your phone calls, comments. We're going to talk to Andy some more. Wow, what a story. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Many experts and prophets say the great food shortage is coming in a few months. Most long-term food storage companies charge $9,000 to $10,000 for one person for 1 year. Joseph Kitchen does it not for half that price or a third that price, but go to Joseph Kitchen and get long-term emergency food for about $1,000 per person per year. We'll show you how to take the wheat, like in the days of Joseph the Pharaoh, grind it in 30 seconds, put it into a bread machine, push a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice, hot, nutritious loaf of whole wheat bread. It'll cut your food costs, and many say it's very delicious and nutritious. There is not one food a human can live on, but whole wheat bread may be the closest. If you go to Joseph's Kitchen, use the promo code BUTCH, you'll get a $50 discount, and it helps call to decision. That's Joseph's Kitchen, promo code BUTCH, for a $50 discount on what might be the cheapest and maybe the best thing to eat. JosephKitchen.com, promo code BUTCH.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods, bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Namana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back again. We're going to talk to Andy Berger, and we're going to give you some information that you can contact, maybe help somebody like this in trouble that going through the same thing Andy did, maybe, and maybe we can do something to help her raise some funds, take care of other children. And, folks, we were talking during the break. And, by the way, if you please do call tonight. I want to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, you share them. But we're talking during the break, and I asked her a personal question. She didn't mind answering at all, so I'll have her answer on the air also. I asked her if she had any children, and she said, yes, she has one daughter. Would you mind telling the folks how you got that daughter?
I'd be thrilled to. So during the time that Ed and I ran our shelter, one of these young gals that called in, she called in the day after she was 18, and basically for 6 years, we were her family, her parent-type figures. She loved Ed and wanted him to walk her down the aisle someday and all of that. So anyway, fast forward to a couple years ago, she was excited about Christmas, which she had never been before. She came to the house, gave us a card, and she asked if we would legally adopt her. And, of course, it was no question. So Ed and I officially adopted her in January of 2020 as an adult, just like I was adopted as an adult, which has just made our life amazing. I was so excited at becoming an official mom. I was running through Safeway getting flowers and a cake and all this stuff to take to the lawyer's office. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have a daughter, you know, a daughter of my own. And Ed and I were just thrilled. So you can become a very influential parent, even in your 60s, even if you've raised kids. And we had lost our son in miscarriage. We hadn't planned on a family, but, you know, God took Elijah back to heaven. And so we never really thought much about it. And then Allison came along and just added to our beautiful family. And she's got the heart of a lion, and she's doing great.
And what a coincidence. Ha, ha, ha.
Worked out just like our father had in mind. I don't know where she gets that from.
That's so beautiful. It truly is. And so how long have you and your husband been run this shelter? And is the shelter still open?
No, we just closed it this past December due to, you know, lack of funding, COVID, the governmental mandates against youth centers in Oregon because of all that. So unfortunately, Ed and I, we tried to cover the cost of the building and all the programs, and we just couldn't do it personally anymore. So after 14 years, we did close Beulah's Place. But again, you know, we had over 300 kids that we either housed or assisted in rescuing or helped to reintegrate back into community after severe abuse. And so they're all doing well, you know, as far as we know. We stay in touch with many of them still, but that was a great experience. And then my health at the time wasn't really good, so my organs were starting to fail again from autoimmune issues. So I had to find something else. But God is so good. When he knows the door is closing, he sold the building, we got out of everything, and he also inspired in the middle of the night, Voices Against Trafficking. He said, Andy, more voices. You need more voices. And so the next morning, I called a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I feel like we're a hub of a wheel. We will be the networker, the network of networkers. So the spokes are all individuals or corporations or nonprofits or churches or whoever. And the more spokes, the more people we have in our wheel, the further we can go. And it's kind of like a human rights movement, but with a bicycle. It's a little slower, but we get there. But the great thing is, in the 3 years, we have received a lot of attention, gained a lot of traction, because one, we make it easy for the everyday person who maybe didn't know about all of this to be part of the solution. So on our website, voicesagainsttrafficking.com, you can add your voice to our roster. We want to have 1 million voices by the end of next year on a roster so we can go to any legislator, any mayor, any town, anywhere, and use those voices as leverage to do the right thing, whether it's laws or enforcement or helping victims. So that's free. That's something that's super easy to just add your voice. And then the other thing, of course, we have helplines and hotlines on that website, voicesagainsttrafficking.com, and you can put those numbers in your phone right now tonight. They have a suicide hotline. They have anti-trafficking, victims hotline. They have child abuse hotline. They have drug and alcohol hotline. Anything that you need help with, because we want you to be prepared, and we want your listeners and people that are trying to do something positive to be prepared if they see something, to say something and be confident that, you know, they have a secure hotline and they have an autonomous way to get help for the right reasons. So those are a couple of really easy things.
Well, you know, one thing that does concern me, because I have very, very little confidence in CPS, and I'm sure you understand why.
I do.
It is absolutely a child trafficking ring in itself. So I have very little confidence in them. So if you contact somebody through one of these numbers, who takes the call and who will be the one to check on it? I don't like CPS at all. Who'd be the ones that will get involved with that?
Yeah, these are national, and so like Child Help USA mans the child abuse hotline, and so they keep everything anonymous. They have counselors and people trained to say, okay, well, let's say you're in Main Street, you know, USA. These are the resources we can connect you with, for example, to get help. Or if it's something like the other day, I had a gentleman that called. He was concerned his sisters might be involved in human trafficking as victims, and so I was able to connect him with Homeland Security, you know, their number. They have somebody answering to make a report and to get help. And I know that we've used those numbers for what we call active cases. One example is in Georgia, in Atlanta, one of our members was traveling, and she noticed something suspicious about a man in his early 40s with a newborn baby who was all covered up with a coat or a towel or something and crying, and he didn't seem to know what to do with it. So she pretended to take a selfie and took a picture of him with the baby and the flight number that he was going to go on. She had to get on her plane, but then she got she let the flight attendants, who are supposed to be and usually are trained to deal with information. And the short of it was, by the time TSA was notified and one of our other members in Washington, D.C. got involved, Homeland Security had a case open within 4 or 5 hours, and they were tracking the gentleman that had the baby.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah.
And on the federal level like that, have you seen good results? Have there been people that you think you can trust on a level like that?
Yes. Yes, we have been, because they follow through, and that also gives us reporting, which we need. People are afraid to report, but if we don't have people that report or tell them, hey, I'm a victim, identify themselves as a victim, it's hard to get agencies of any kind to get resources or to do things. But here's my thought. This is Andy's philosophy. If you have a community that you live in, first thing, go to your local law enforcement department, police station, whatever, find out what they want in terms of information. Okay, this way, if you feel more confident reporting, then that would be helpful to you. You know, find out what they're willing to do. There are some law enforcement agencies that really don't get involved in it for whatever reason, but even in my own county, the district attorney himself publicly said and was videotaped saying and recorded as saying, I don't prosecute human trafficking because I don't believe it happens. And if somebody's a prostitute at 18, they chose to do that, which is not the case all the time. So you have members all over the country's a little sideways, but you know, As I told you, God has a perfect plan and a perfect time, and we have to hold fast to that. But in the meantime, we also have to have due diligence. We need to be more diligent parents, more diligent community members, by asking our leaders or the people that say they represent us, what have you done for our community, our neighborhoods, to protect children? Who have you prosecuted? You know, what kind of sentences are you giving out? Or what have you been involved to show that you care about protecting families and children? Because if they can't do that, then, you know, why would we give them a vote or money? Because our nonprofit, Voices Against Trafficking, man, we are working hard. We have a book out called Voices Against Trafficking, The Strength of Many Voices Speaking as One, to help educate, inspire, give people a starting point for conversations. There's like 20 chapters from 20 different voices around the country. And Mexico, and so we wanted to make sure that every other year we bring out something that you can use in your schools, in your churches, in your leadership meetings, whatever it is, your social groups, to help get the word and the education out about this evil elephant we have, you know, looming over us. Our children are the future, and yet they are the least protected, the least valued,
absolutely,
and really
absolutely
the least loved. Right now.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. With the murder we committed in the womb, that's enough to prove that. So, where do you think most of this comes from? Is it usually from family members, or are they kidnapped and brought into it, or how does it usually work?
Well, right now, statistically, this is from Donald W. Washington, the director of the U.S. Marshals Service. Statistically, and this was last year's statistics, every 40 seconds in America, a child 18 years and under is abducted. They are taken, or they're recruited under false promise, you know, like a here's a summer job or come be a model or whatever, false pretenses. So every 40 seconds, a child is taken. And it's your neighborhood, my neighborhood, other people's neighborhoods, because the predators today are not what you see in the movies. They look like your dentist or your librarian or your teacher or whoever. And so they're much smarter than we probably think they are, but they're stealth. And so on the internet alone, 250,000 a day, predators are tracking and trying to get to your kids every day on that internet.
250,000 a day, 250,000 a day?
Yes.
Wow.
Because they're looking for product. They're looking for an easy hit. They're looking for money. When you think about it, you know, if you're a gang member and it's easier to sell your girlfriend 20, 24 times a day, which is the average number of selling a 12, 13, 14-year-old. Okay, and I'm sorry if this is, you know, shocks people, that maybe we all need to be shocked a little bit, because it could be your niece or your granddaughter or somebody you know and love that gets sucked into one of these traps, whether it's on college or at the school level. And if the schools are not protecting our children and the laws are not protecting victims, then we have chaos, and that's not of God. But we as his people need to stand up and say enough.
And are we making headway, Andy? Are we making headway?
Right now we're a little under because of the border situation, which is the truth. When you take 5.5 million people, let them come across the border in a two-year period of time, there's no way to vet or to figure out, you know, who's a criminal, who isn't, who has family members, who isn't. That's one part of the issue. But what I do know is God turned evil in my life for good, and he can certainly do the same here. But he wants all of his people to stand up for the right thing, that all life is valuable, and that we need to work harder sometimes. We need to fight harder, and we need to fight together as one voice, just like our book, because as one voice, we're more powerful than, you know, segregated or separate factions of voices can be. So with Voices, all the people that are members have their own identity. We are simply the hub that keeps the wheel going. And whether it's our books, we have a curriculum, a situational awareness curriculum we rolled out 4 minutes a day, where you and your family, whatever that family unit is, can be situationally aware, be more proactively preventative of these tragedies, 4 minutes a day for 90 days. That's all it takes. So we have that. We have a lot of things we're bringing to the public at large, free forums every quarter, so that they can hear what's really happening out there. And that's not even with all the organ trafficking and all these other horrible things that are also happening, because no one is saying, that's it, enough.
Wow, that is something. I mean, that is so sickening to hear this. And but a quarter million times a day, somebody is trying to kidnap a child for sex trafficking or whatever. And
or
the border,
and
the border, I know, is a big issue. I know that. That's no doubt about that. That is a big issue. We know that's happening every day in the border. At the border, and our government seems to be blind to it and doesn't really care as a whole, not just the truth. Thank God a few out there do care. Let's take a phone call from New Mexico, and let's talk to Mick. Mick, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Hey, Butch, I'm not sure if you talk about Homeland Security can be trusted. You can't trust them. They're part of it.
Okay. Any comments on that, Andy?
Right. Well, the three cases where we've had an active situation with somebody trafficking a child, they have been very good on that. I'm not saying they're all perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I'm with you as far as some of these organizations are also involved. It goes all the way through the highest levels. We know that. But what I'm saying is, if it's a choice between trusting that you might get that person who cares on the other line to help and save a child, it's worth the risk. And that's all I can say. All I know is what we have experienced with them. They work very closely with us.
So the least you're offering some hope. And Mick's right. A lot of them are absolutely crooks as they can be, but there's some good ones involved also. We know that to be true.
Yes.
There'd be some good ones in there. Okay, Mick, good point. Anything else?
Now, if you take children from the home, if you know that's called kidnapping in God's world, there's you two. You know where?
Oh, kidnapping is a death penalty. Absolutely. That's Bible, and that's the way it ought to be. Absolutely, that's true. That's very, very true. I'm sure she knows that. And yes. Andy, whenever you see these things coming, when you got involved in the past helping these young people, how did you find out about them?
Well, a lot of times they're either referred to us, or I speak to churches and corporations and social groups, Rotary, whoever, anywhere that they'll have me. And I, again, create the awareness, give them tools, and they can always email us through voicesagainsttrafficking.com. It comes directly to me first. So when we get these kids, it's usually someone from church or a friend of a friend or some of the kids we've already rescued that we literally found on the street, and they will say, hey, I know someone who needs help, because we teach them to be proactive and to pay it forward, so to speak, you know. And so that's really where we get it from. I also have other agencies that will call me and say, hey, we don't know what to do about this. You know, do you have resources? Can you help us? And so I end up kind of being an information hub at times for other agencies. And so mm-hmm. we work together with as many people as we can to help that one child or that one person, that one victim, whatever it takes.
Okay, I'm by Mick. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry, forgot about Mick. Mick, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. So if someone knows something or has suspect something, can they contact you on your website and get their information to you? Is
sure.
that possible?
I can't take the report, but yes, they can contact me and say, hey, I think this is happening, and I can direct them to what they need to do. Like the gentleman the other day gave him several numbers, and I also had him call a couple of our members who are ex-law enforcement, ex-U.S. Interpol, government agency people who are good people who are trying to turn the tide on this epidemic of evil. So that's what we do. We make sure that we get them to all the right places. And as you know, you have to be involved in your own solutions and your own healing and your own process. So we don't do it all for them. We give them the encouragement, the support. They can reach us anytime, multiple times, and we'll continue to walk with them through the process. But they do have to make the calls. They do have to make the reports.
Wow. And get the website again is what again?
Voices Against trafficking.com. We are 501c3. There are ways to donate on our site. You can be a lifetime member for $50, and that $50 will, you know, help us keep the internet going and help us get information out to the schools and all that kind of stuff. And then there are other levels of membership that you can have. But, you know, really, every dollar does count. We don't have anyone that's an employee. We're all volunteers. So just like we were with Beulah's Place. And we're just trying to make sure that we can even save the next one, right? One more, just one more, Lord, you know, and we'll keep doing that until he says, I'm done. But hopefully the legacy will live on. And if I may, I just want to give you the precipice for why I do what I do, because it came to me a few years ago. And I don't know who the author was, but it was a Christian book, and it said, go and get the cast out, the downtrodden, the least likely, those that others have given up on, and tell them, I have chosen them to be my jewels. I will dig them out of the pits of life, chisel them according to my will, polish them up, and set them aside as my peculiar treasure. That is Jesus speaking to his church. And that's what I am. I'm a treasure hunter.
What a way to put it. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. And I got to ask this question. Running out of time. Nobody's calling. I know they're listening, though, because the people get us wrapped up in conversation. They don't want to call in. What is the success rate to reintroduce these girls back into society where they can function normal? How many of them actually can come back in and function normally, like God blessed you with? How many come in that way and can handle that?
Well, with the 300 that we rescued here in Central Oregon, even though a lot of them came from other areas, once they were here, it didn't matter. We took care of them. We had a 92% success rate, which is why we got national attention from members of Congress and other people on both sides of the fence, you know, about that, about our program. And they're still with us today with Voices Against Trafficking. But we had a 92% success rate of these kids going back into community, maintaining a job, and being able to live successfully, not without, you know, hardship, and they still had to deal with all of the emotional stuff, but they were able to take their life at 18, 19, 20, and before they had a family, before the next generation happened, get the health and healing and hope that they needed. And with Voices Against Trafficking, we have so many organizations worldwide that are part of us, that are members. It would be hard for me to take a guess of what the success rate is. But, for example, Airline Ambassadors, who does the training for all the airlines in the world on human trafficking and how to spot it and what to do. In one trip, they rescued 83 women.
Oh, my goodness.
So, that's the power of combining our voices together. And even if someone has no time and very little money, they can do something, like I said, by adding their voice. And most people, even in hard times, if they do the minimum, you know, to just donate one lifetime membership, that will continue to
Amen.
Keep us going.
Amen.
And, yeah.
Amen. I'm going to do that, by the way. I will do that.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. And I'll be in touch again and talk to you about this some more. But we're about out of time for tonight, down about the last minute and a half or so. Andy, I got to tell you again, I admire you. I respect what you've done and what you're still doing, and for the strength you've had through God to come through this. And I know all praise is His. I realize that. But you had to be a willing vessel. And sometimes it had to be hard when you were going through all this torment. So I highly admire you for this. I truly, truly, sincerely mean that.
I appreciate that. I feel that. Thank you. It has been hard. It's not been an easy life, and that's just how life is sometimes. But we know that God has a plan, and if someone can just get up and show up today, they have half the battle won, and that's what we teach our kids. If you can get up
Amen.
And show up, you got half the battle won, and the rest of it's up to you to be someone else's hero today, even when you don't feel like it.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, again, the website, one more time, very quickly.
VoicesAgainstTrafficking.com.
All right, sweetheart. I'll be in touch. And thanks to us tonight. Thank you, Andy, very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
thanks
we'll
to all of you.
You
thank
soon.
You so much.
All right. God bless, Andy. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night with an FBI, CIA whistleblower. You don't want to miss that. See you there.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.